Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
He's Bill Ryder, and he's writer than you.
A program writer than you, sometimes.
He's a fan.
I love sports so much.
He's in your face.
I will destroy those obnoxiously arrogant, clueless, tone-deaf superstars who are marginal players, good players, made careers, who believe they're Hall of Famers.
He's nice.
I promise. We're nice here.
He's humble.
I think I'm usually pretty good here on the show about admitting when I got it wrong.
Live from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, it's Andrew Bogish.
We knew the women's tournament would not disappoint. There were some concerns, some critiques about the men. That first weekend wasn't super great, but we have landed on a pretty fun Final Four for Phoenix this weekend. Good morning. For those of you that celebrate, hope you had a great Easter. It is Ryder Than You here on CBS Sports Radio, the free Odyssey app, and SiriusXM Sports 158. But it is not Bill Ryder. It is not Pretty Daddy. Instead, it's Bogish. It's Pat Boyle. And we've got you through noon Eastern on this Monday. As always, thanks so much for being with us. Phone lines are open for you at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Tweet at us, at Andrew Bogish, at Pat Boyle 44. 2 hours of fun. Bill and Pretty Daddy are off all this week, so it's a mix of me and Boyles, different people in different roles, different seats throughout the week. I'll be with you tomorrow, and then again on Friday. And this morning is almost wall-to-wall basketball. John Fanta, Fox Sports, CBS Sports, he's all over the place. He's on the show in hour number two to continue this basketball conversation. And the two tournaments now running side-by-side, almost at their nexus, almost at their peaks. The women have two more games tonight to finalize their Final Four. And those two games just happen to be Iowa-LSU in a rematch of last year's title game. That's Caitlin Clark against Angel Reese one more time. And then the nightcap, if the court allows it in Portland, is USC and UConn, Juju Watkins and Paige Beckers. That's a pretty good game, too, on tonight's schedule. The men wrapped up their Final Four yesterday, and we head towards Arizona with four high-quality teams slash storylines. And again, I didn't love the first weekend. It's just, it's great by default. But we did not get the mayhem that many thought we were going to get. We did not have the normal, insane buzzer beaters. Just as many games were not close as were close. But we head towards Arizona and the two games on Saturday, and then a week from tonight, crowning a national title with four teams, four storylines put together, and from where I sit, it's as good of a four in this day and age of men's college basketball that we could have asked for. It begins with the number one overall seed, UConn, and their march, which has not even hit a stumble yet towards history, towards a second straight national title with a somewhat different roster, but the same fiery head coach who calls himself and his teams a bunch of blank holes over the weekend. They love that part of this. They love that rule. And they also love winning NCAA tournament games easily. It's not just that they've won 10 in a row. It's that they've won all 10 by at least 13 points. Their average margin of victory in this tournament through four games is 27.8. The last time we saw them on Saturday, they were tied with Illinois at 23. And then they scored 30 unanswered points. 30 unanswered points. They smothered an Illinois team that was the number two offense in America. They held them scoreless for 45 real-time minutes and blew them out in an Elite Eight game to get themselves back into the Final Four. This team is unbelievable. Whether they're unstoppable is the question, and so far they have not been stopped. Maybe the one team that can stop them looms next Monday. If UConn survives Alabama and Purdue fights off NC State, the Boilermakers, the Huskies, arguably the two best teams all year long, ending up on the grand stage with Klingon and the other UConn size trying to figure out Zach Edey, that would be something. But before we get to Monday, we've got Saturday. And we've got UConn, and we've got those Boilermakers. Because if you don't love history and the first team to repeat since 2007 Florida, if you don't love domination, if you don't love elite, if you don't love scrappy, angry, fiery Dan Hurley, if you don't love Tristan Newton racking up triple-doubles, I can offer you Purdue and the Redemption Tour, because this time last year, we were still making fun of them for losing as a one seed to 16-seeded FDU. And I'll say this very politely, assuming that nobody in New Jersey is listening. I saw that FDU team in person this year back in November. And to their credit, it was basically the same team that knocked off Purdue the previous March. They did not have guys running into the portal and leaving. And they didn't change coaches. You know, St. Peter's made their run. Shaheen Holloway moved up to Seton Hall. Guys followed him. Other guys left. FDU came back with basically the same team. And after watching them in person, I don't understand still how Purdue lost that game to that team. Purdue deserved all of the hate. They deserved all of the mocking. And they come back this year. They are a better team. They had to take those questions and those critiques and those jokes head on all season long. It was still a point of contention and a valid one as this tournament began. How do you trust Purdue, even with Edey and Matt Painter, and a better team in theory than a year ago? How can we trust them? And now they're in the Final Four. And Zach Edey yesterday authored one of the best tournament performances I can remember, and especially on that stage. It's one thing to put 40 and 16 on FDU in round one. It's another to do it against Tennessee in a regional final with so much riding on that game for that program, for that head coach, for that player. And Edey was unbelievable yesterday. P.S. They needed all of that because Dalton Connect was almost as amazing for Tennessee and almost got the Vols into the Final Four by himself. But it's Edey instead going for 40 and 16 in a regional finals. Now, Purdue, much like Virginia, has a chance to follow up the shame of losing to a 16 seed with a national title. Alabama, a quick mention, because you're in the tourney, you're in the Final Four for the first time ever. Congrats to Nate Oates, who's done a tremendous job in Tuscaloosa. It's a football school. It will always be a football school, Nick Saban or not. But now the Tide playing on the biggest stage in men's college basketball as well. They can certainly score it. Mark Sears introducing himself to America in this tournament. A good head coach. That's a nice story as well. But it doesn't matter when you've got UConn, when you've got Purdue, and then you've got NC State. An 11 seed that would not be in this tournament if they didn't win the ACC bracket. And our friends on Maggie and Perloff before us were asking, is NC State an actual Cinderella? And yeah, they are. I know they're not from the MEAC or the CAA or the Horizon, a one big league. I know they're from the ACC, but this team had 14 losses when that ACC tournament began. They were not going to get in the dance unless they got the automatic bid. And they got the automatic bid by winning five times in 5 days inside the ACC. and they have not slowed down since. And now they've won 9 consecutive games, 5 against ranked teams. Yesterday, they did a solid for the rest of North Carolina by taking out Duke, and maybe for a good chunk of America's too, as well, who hates the Dukies. And we now, as a nation, are completely in love with the Wolfpack and DJ Burns, who, following in the Edie Connect shoes yesterday, in the wake of that battle 1v1, DJ Burns did his own thing. And Kyle Filipowski and nobody else big with size down low from Duke was really a match, especially in that second half. And DJ ends with 29 points, and NC State handles everything Duke throws at them, and they take that one to the end. They get that win. They go to the Final Four for the first time since 83, and you know what that year is. That's the last time NC State made the Final Four, with Jim Valvano running around looking to hug somebody. They didn't make it with Chris Curciani and my guy Tom Gugliotta. They didn't make it with Julius Hodge. They make it now with DJ Burns and DJ Horn and McConnell and everybody else. And a head coach in Kevin Keats, who might have been a free agent right now had things not gone differently. So NC State, from where I sit, is absolutely a Cinderella. They were a Cinderella in the ACC bracket. So they've got to be a Cinderella now that they're in the Final Four, whatever conference they come out of. 14 losses is the most ever by a Final Four team. That's good enough for me to be a Cinderella. And oh, by the way, let me gloat for a second. And I'm glad that Boyle is here to do it with me today as well. Because while many of you just met DJ Burns, maybe as recently as that ACC tournament, we here at CBS Sports Radio, in this early morning-ish window, have known about DJ Burns for a while. Because DJ Burns has a very special place in DA show lore. And I don't think that Bill would mind me mentioning this, or that DA certainly will not, because he's not here to puff out his own chest. But for those of you who used to listen to that show, you may remember the legendary voice of Super Dave Friedman, the former radio voice of Winthrop men's basketball, and his esteemed partner, our good friend as well, Mike Pacheco. And for whatever reason, those two guys allowed us to feed them lines from the DA show to put into their official postseason broadcasts. And one of the most famous drops that became a play-by-play call from Super Dave starred one DJ Burns.
Running it in the post, and, you know, good spacing, good power, you know, and DJ just takes up so much space there.
Well, he has a weird waist. I mean, just a big, hulking guy.
Are you saying I have a weird waist?
Well, I mean, I've seen it at various sizes over the years.
Well, you meant DJ. I thought you said...
Yeah, Vaudrin hits the first free throw to go up 54-41. He's just so big.
Yeah.
And Vaudrin is so smart, he knows when to kind of drive off the backside of DJ and use that space and create.
Yeah, if you've been wondering, you know, DJ Burns, watching these Wolfpack games, you're going, DJ Burns, this sounds familiar to me. DJ Burns is the weird waist guy from Winthrop men's basketball. And Dave wasn't done.
Sometimes the game plan is simple. You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this. Get it to Burns. He can score in tight. He can get to the free throw line. He is a dynamic offensive player.
If nothing else, CBS Sports Radio is informational.
He's just so big.
Introducing you to the people that you need to know that maybe you don't know about just yet. As we span this beautiful country, with different stations in different parts of the country, different walks of life listening to these shows, it's almost our duty to connect all of us.
Big, hulking guy.
To let you know about people who are toiling in Rock Hill, South Carolina, doing yeoman's work for a very good men's basketball program, but not in the ACC, not in the Big Ten, not in the Big East. So maybe you didn't know about DJ Burns and Adonis Arms and Winthrop men's basketball.
You need to eat like this.
And then a very talented, well-respected, established play-by-play voice decided that he would let us attempt to ruin his calls by inserting completely nonsensical one-liners, nicknames, innuendo, and we end up with DJ Burns being weird waste guy, and now DJ Burns has taken that jumping off point and turned himself into maybe America's favorite basketball player.
Little wet, little drippy.
Because he's out there like a mini Zach Randolph, giggling, dancing, smiling, pirouetting, left baby hooks, rebounds, three-point plays. He was remarkable yesterday.
Mr. DJ, turn the music up.
And if you can't have Super Dave on the call, you got to have Iron Eagle on the call when DJ Burns shows up.
Burns.
I mean, remarkable across the board. The announcers, the performance, and the public service that we do here at CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, you got DJ to DJ on and on and on.
And when Boyle walked in this morning, I assumed he was well aware of this. But I broke the news to you that DJ Burns was weird waist guy.
Big, hulking guy.
Yeah, That one got lost on me. You know, with the transfer portal, it's tough to stay on top of who's going where, which player. I mean, some of these guys have been at three schools.
Right.
So, yes, DJ Burns obviously stands out for how he looks. And he is phenomenal, and he's electric, and he embraces. He is what March Madness is all about. But, yeah, I forgot he was weird waist guy from Super Dave.
Yeah, and I didn't know that he went to NC State. I knew that he had left Winthrop. And then early this year, I was watching an NC State game randomly. And there he is, and I'm like, the name sounds familiar. He's a big dude. I remember the hair. So, boom, 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 Google search, and that's the same guy. Couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it's remarkable. And NC State is a team basically full of transfers, which, you would think cohesion in the transfer portal era. You would think cohesion is probably better than not having it. And that's what Duke had. All five starters have been there for their entirety. That's who they were recruited by. That's how they've been there. And they got beat by a team that was, like you said, 17-14 a month ago, and has a team full of transfers and a coach that was about to get fired. And now they're in the Final Four.
Now, the one thing, because the DJ Burns connection and now this run has made me take a deeper dive into exactly NC State. Now, in terms of transfers, yes, he's a transfer, but DJ was actually there last year, too. So there's a little continuity with NC State. But yeah, I mean, this is a team that was dead in the water, absolutely dead in the water, and somehow now has made itself into the Final Four. And this is what this is about as good as you can construct one. Two number ones, teams that does, because I like Cinderella to an extent. You know, the George Masons of the world, those are great stories. But when we get to the end, I want the teams that can guarantee us the better games.
He's just so big.
And the most drama. And when we've had the smaller schools outside of Butler get to the Final Four, it doesn't always go well in the national semifinal. So I want as many 1 and 2 seeds as possible. And we've got 2 number one seeds that for different reasons you can really rally behind here. If you like the domination, if you like the chance at history, you've got UConn. If you like redemption, if you like Zach Edey, if you like a first, you know, if you like a team that hasn't been in the Final Four since 1980, here's Purdue basketball. Then you've got Alabama, a non-traditional basketball power, but a well-known school and a well-known football program in a big-time conference in the Final Four for the first time ever. And then there's NC State, who's a nice mix of the truest Cinderella from the small conference, from the one-bid league, but a team that was not going to be in this tournament, won its way in, and has not stopped winning since then, and brings to the table a singular personality and player in DJ Burns that you can latch on to as well.
Big, hulking guy.
Let's talk obesity. Honestly, here.
Right.
In this day and age, when you can't count on men's basketball to give you the storylines that the women's bracket is giving you, like rematches and rivalries between teams or individual players, it's hard to get to this point on the men's side. But if you're giving whomever's in charge of the NCAA the kind of open bracket, give me what you want this to look like, here you go. A team, a mini brand in UConn, different roster, different leading players from last year, So there's different guys to kind of latch on to now. Zach Edey brings to the table the singular player from the Purdue aspect. Name recognition in Alabama. And a great story in NC State, which, by the way, has a chance to spoil things and keep us from a UConn-Purdue final. We'll get more of this today, tomorrow, even Friday. But there's a better chance, and I think everyone would agree on this, of NC State beating Purdue than Alabama beating UConn. And as I say that, we'll probably have an Alabama-Purdue final next Monday. But the women, they're on their way to Cleveland. But first, a game tonight in Albany and a game tonight in Portland. That Albany game is the one we've wanted. We get it. It's Iowa. It's LSU. It's Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. And Angel Reese with comments yesterday previewing this matchup that were absolutely perfect, the way things are supposed to be in competition. That's next, Writer Than You on CBS Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Those are two voices you're not going to hear this week here on Writer Than You on CBS Sports Radio. Both Bill Ryder and Pretty Daddy are off this entire week. Andrew Bogish, Pat Boyle in for them today. Now, normally when I'm here, Boyle, Pretty Daddy, Tom DeCelestino, he likes to run and hide as well. He doesn't want to hang out with me. So normally what the chain of events is, Bill takes off, Bill's under the weather, so Bill doesn't host. I get the call to replace Bill, and then DeCel bails to avoid working with me. However, I believe roles reversed this week. I believe that DeCel actually took this week off first. And then Bill said, I don't want to work with Boyle and company pretending to be Pretty Daddy. So he's off now as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you think writer Bill doesn't like me?
I don't know if he like. I think he just doesn't like non-DeCels.
Mm. And why is that?
Maybe each person, the answer is individual, that I'm not sure of, but I know that DeCel took off first and Bill followed suit this time.
Wow, yeah, so the roles reversed. DeCel didn't want to have to do the grunt work for you.
Yep.
Because you're below him on his
correct
scale of, you know, his
yep
pyramidic scale of greatness.
Yep.
But this time it's Bill saying, I don't want to work with a part timer that's not DeCel, I'm out.
Yeah. I mean, he has DeCel trained so well.
He really does.
DeCel just, at whatever, any whim that Bill has, DeCel will just jump and make it happen. Not that you guys can't do it, but to get the same level of service out of you guys dropping in and out is probably impossible. And he just goes, you know what? I'm fine without it. I'll just take my days here too.
So has there been a power dynamic shift now between Bill and D-Cell, at least in the sense of that.
Wow, I mean, I didn't.
In the normal show construct dynamic, I think the power lies within Bill.
Yeah, but, I didn't dive that deep into the psychology. I was just happy that I wasn't the one that had to be insulted this time because somebody chose not to work with me.
Yeah, well, don't worry. I love working with you, Bogey. You're very easy to work with.
And I'm glad that you're here, too. I'm usually the one who feels slighted by D-Cell, who I'm trying to improve our relationship. And every chance that we have to do that, he takes off to avoid it.
Well, he took off first, though.
This time.
He took his days.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was anything to do with you.
No.
It was then Bill who was ducking smoke from whoever.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I feel like every time I've worked with Bill, we talk about tennis. We talk about MILFs. We talk about single divorcees in LA and how I need to get out there and experience that.
It's funny. There's a lot of people here looking to get you some level of female companionship for a weekend, for life. We've all got our eyes and ears open for Pat Boyle.
You do a great job helping me out.
I try.
We're 0 for 1, I would say.
Yeah. But Bill's offered to relocate you. Well, not. He suggested you relocate. He wouldn't fund your move, but he has said there might be more fish in the pond in California.
Yeah, I mean, I'm about that action. I don't know why I didn't take it up. I have all winter. I didn't do it. Instead, I'm here.
So it's probably worth a trip.
It probably is. Absolutely is. Get to play tennis, maybe with Rip Hamilton.
You never know. And you're dressed today. I mean, I don't know what's going on. You're dressed to be in some kind of country club, sipping like a spiked Arnold Palmer on your way to, I can't tell if it's tennis or croquet, maybe even polo. But you're almost an all-white. You're in what I would describe as like a quilted wool polo.
I got the linen pants.
Linen pants.
Can I be honest? Can I pull back the curtain?
Please.
Here? This is what I wore to Easter yesterday.
Easter was such a banger that you didn't go home and change?
I came here and slept like I did after the U.S. No, I only wore this because my nephews are animals and they wanted to play football in the backyard. So I was like, all right, well, if there's a chance I'm ending up on the ground or tackling them or, you know, I don't want to get, this is a brand new outfit. So I was like, all right. I brought a change of clothes. So that happened like literally within an hour after getting to my parents' house yesterday.
Okay.
So I didn't even wear the outfit. I wore it for an hour. So I was like, all right, you know, I put it in my duffel bag. I was like, all right, I'll wear it tomorrow to work.
Okay. I've done that.
Why waste an outfit if you only wore it for an hour? You want to wear it again? I might wear it again tomorrow for a play-by-play broadcast.
Now, I wouldn't suggest that. Because while there is, you know, it does make sense to use the outfit that you didn't really use yesterday, but then we get to, it's April 1st, it's kind of wet and cold here today, and you're dressed for, like you should be with Ryder in LA in some fancy country club.
Yeah, but here's the thing, you want to get the most out of an outfit. Have you ever maximized an outfit?
I'm 44 years old. I don't maximize many outfits these days. Well, I come here and I go home and play and coach a baseball practice.
If I wear an outfit that I know that if I'm in a different setting and none of those people that saw me yesterday are going to see me today, I'll double up on an outfit. And on Tuesday, if I'm going to be in another work setting with people that didn't see me yesterday or the day before that, hell, I might triple up on an outfit.
And those clothes will be fresh enough tomorrow to bring back after
you,
a full
what
wear
do you
today?
Mean fresh? What am I doing?
I know, you're alive,
myself
moving around.
Here in the control room?
I don't know. You're just actually doing something with your body in those clothes. You're on subways. You're on mass transit. You're walking around. There could get a stink or two on there that you wouldn't want to wear tomorrow to a Rutgers baseball game.
Sit in somebody's fart cloud and it's going to absorb the linen pants.
Now, I'm wearing jeans today that I'm not going to wash to wear another time. You know, jeans, I think everyone agrees that jeans can get multiple wears out of, but like, I'm not going to wear this shirt tomorrow to someplace else.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Right? Dexter Henry here, by the way, because everybody else is in different chairs today, so he's the third member of our team.
Yeah.
Dexter, you don't agree with me?
Jeans, you can get multiple wears.
Right.
Shirts, no. And it really depends on the season. Like a sweater's a little heavier, a hoodie, something I'm wearing, you get multiple wears out of that. Three times with an outfit is a bit much.
But
before washing.
Well, you know, I guess I should have just lied then, and I shouldn't have pulled off the mask and let you guys know what's going on, because you would have no idea that I'm wearing this outfit again tomorrow. Neither would anybody know that I would have worn it yesterday. Unless I get a stain, unless I spill
How
something.
How long did you wear it yesterday? That's the key.
I was just telling Bogus before you came in here, like an hour. I got to my parents' house for Easter. My nephews wanted to play football, so I changed into the change of clothes that I had. So I wore it for all of an hour.
That's fine.
And I'm going to wear it today for like 9 hours. When I get home, I'll change and go to the gym and take it off.
That was my question. When will it leave your body today?
So I put it on when I left for the train at 8 a.m., and it's going to be off my body by 4:30.
All right.
And unless if there's a stain, absolutely. Then you just look like a slob if you're wearing a shirt that has a stain on it or anything like that. But I got deodorant, a little cologne on. Mm-hmm. Like, there, if nothing else gets on this shirt, it's going back on again tomorrow for a different work setting,
right,
where nobody has seen me the last 2 days.
And then we're just back into whether or not it's just, like, weather appropriate, because it's not warm enough for what you're wearing today.
Well, I have a raincoat. And any other regular coat?
If I could do anything fatherly for you today, knowing tomorrow's weather forecast, linen pants and a white shirt are not the call for what's supposed to be rain and wind tomorrow.
Wait, is he rocking linen? Are you rocking linen pants today?
Yeah.
Linen pants in early spring?
Yeah, see? See?
Oh, man. That's bold.
All right. I'm glad.
That's a little bold. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not only getting dad. Thank you for being my dad, Bogus. Now I'm getting fashion advice here.
I respect the linen pants, man. I really do as a style. I just think it's a little bold this early in the spring. It's a little bold.
Aren't there rules like no white after Labor Day, no linen in the spring?
That rule, though,
when is after Labor Day? It's technically always after Labor Day, and it's always technically simultaneously before Labor Day. I think it just means from September to December.
Yeah, it's fair.
I think you're not supposed to wear white from September to December.
I don't follow that rule, but yes.
Yeah, I mean, who made those rules?
I agree. I'm not saying you can't wear it. You wear what makes you feel comfortable, man.
I feel plush. I feel radiant.
You feel plush?
You feel plush.
I feel like I've got a stuffed animal surrounding my body.
You want to be comfortable. I understand it, man. I got you.
And I want to maximize an outfit before I have to wash it. Or in this case, maybe take it to the cleaners.
Yeah.
And your max is 3 times, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. That's all. Just checking.
All right. Now, Dexter is on TV more than the two of us. What's your rule for a suit? How many times will you wear a suit before you...
Before dry cleaning?
Yeah.
Season depends on the season.
Yeah, that's true, too.
For sure. I would say summer, twice.
I think that's fair.
And I have different kinds of suits that I have, like, in terms of material for the seasons. Like, I won't wear something really heavy.
Okay.
As much. Like, I mean, I'll still wear, like, a wool suit, but, like, yeah, definitely wear that in the summer and you did a little bit of walking.
You're in trouble.
In trouble.
Yeah.
So 2 times. Winter can go to 3.
All right.
It's kind of where I go before the dry clean.
We're 35 minutes in. You've gotten a long breakdown of men's clothing. You're welcome. Men's Final Four action as well.
I'm just saying this. I know that there are great folks here in North America and especially in the U.S. that have doubled up on an outfit knowing that the people the day before that didn't see them.
Yeah.
You want to get the most out of an outfit, especially if you like it.
I love you so much. Here comes your
Wait, how long are these updates? Because I have not done this shift.
That's
in a while.
Fair question. I think they're 90 seconds altogether.
Well, you usually do them.
Yes.
So it's a 90-second bed that I'm going to play here, right?
Sure, why not?
I mean, we're really taking folks behind the curtain today.
Fingers crossed. Oh, no, we're going to rock down to Electric Avenue. And then we'll take it higher. It is. And the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now. We got a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. It's Writer Than You on CBS Sports Radio on this Monday morning, first day of April. Can't believe the year is already a quarter of the way done somehow. No Bill Ryder, no Pretty Daddy all week. Today, it's me, Andrew Bogish, alongside Pat Boyle. You just heard Dexter Henry on your updates. We'll hear from him next hour as well. John Fanta is on the show to start hour number two. Covers college basketball for everybody these days. He's all over the place. Just won an award, the National Basketball Writers Association upcomer of the year. I'll have to get the title before John comes on. But John's a stud. Nobody loves college basketball more than him. He's on the show next hour. No Pretty Daddy doesn't mean no buy or sell. Pat Boyle's got that for you next hour as well. Mentioned Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and then talked about linen pants instead. So let's get now to tonight. This is the end of one of the two brackets that are finishing in Albany. It's a 7 Eastern tip. It is arguably the most anticipated non-Final Four, non-title game in women's college basketball, maybe ever, but certainly in recent memory. It was the final year ago. It was an LSU win. Iowa had knocked off undefeated South Carolina in the national semifinal. They get into this game, and Kim Mulkey and LSU put together a great game plan, executed to perfection. They beat Caitlin Clark. Reese does the I can't see you hand gesture. Everyone freaks out about that. We fast forward to now, and April begins with the two of them squaring off in Albany to decide the third spot in the Final Four. Tonight's second game is USC-UConn. Almost since that moment, since last year's title game, we've been hoping for this rematch to come to fruition, and we have been diagnosing everything about the Angel Reese Caitlin Clark dynamic. And once they both won on Saturday to set this matchup up, the conversation really took hold. And Angel Reese yesterday said exactly what she should have said. To me, this is the way it's supposed to be.
Once I get between those lines, it's no friends. I have plenty of friends on the court that I talk to outside of the game. But, like, when I get between those lines, like, we're not friends. We're not buddies. I'm going to talk trash to you. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get in your head.
I know we get mad these days that there's no more rivalry and these guys and girls are too friendly and there's no real competition and no real enemy and no real rivalries. And I understand to a certain extent that you're right. But I also don't want to take things too far. And it's not about hatred. It's not about disrespect. It's just about the difference between a game and the rest of your life and the rest of daily life. And what Angel Reese said yesterday, and here's more now specifically on Caitlin Clark, is the perfect explanation of the dynamic. This is the way it's supposed to be between two superstars.
I don't think people realize, like, it's not personal. Like, once we get out between those lines, like, if I see you walking down the street, like, it's, hey, girl, like, what's up? Let's hang out. Like, I think people just take it like we hate each other. Like, me and Caitlin Clark don't hate each other. Like, I want everybody to understand that it's just a super competitive game.
It's not personal, and it's not supposed to be personal. Sometimes it gets personal. Sometimes things happen on the court, on the field, and things go to a different place. But when you're one star player facing another star player and you've played on the biggest stage in your sport, you're supposed to dislike each other on the court and then leave it there. Angel Reese is a very controversial figure in women's college in sports. And it came up again over the weekend with that silly LA Times column again ahead of LSU and UCLA and all of the lazy, sexist, maybe racist descriptors and metaphors and analogies in that column that everybody correctly ripped apart. And the LA Times has since edited, not taken down, but edited, saying that the original version didn't meet their journalistic standards. But Angel Reese is a lightning rod. But this is perfect. This is exactly what she should say. It's exactly the way it's supposed to be. And it's exactly why tonight should be, could be, probably will be spectacular. And on a personal note, because I'm old and tired and weak, I'm glad it's the first game, not tipping off at 9, because there's zero chance I'd be able to watch all 40 minutes. But a 7 Eastern start for me, as if they were scheduling just for me, is perfect, because this game is perfect. This matchup is perfect. Caitlin Clark was fantastic on Saturday, becoming a passer on top of the scoring. And LSU, I mean, love him or hate him, and it's easy to do both, which is, I think, why they are so popular. But they are feisty. They are trash talkers. At times, they have certainly gone over the line. The South Carolina fight in the SEC tournament, you know, shame on all of them involved, however you want to break down the blame, whatever. But there are times there's been a misstep, to say the least, by this LSU team. But I thought it was hilarious early in this tournament where they just kept switching spots on the line, going back and forth before a free throw. Like, it's good to be a jerk. It's okay to be a jerk. It's okay to try and mess with the other team. And then when you throw on how damn talented they are, it's why they're back in this game and why this matchup is super dangerous for Caitlin Clark and for Iowa, who I think they've admitted they have not won as easily as maybe they would like to have won before this point. Now, whether that means that they are more susceptible to losing tonight, that I don't know. But LSU is damn good, and LSU is the team that beat them last year, and it's the best team they've seen so far in this bracket. It's a game befitting, like last year, of the national title. But the bracket set up for it to be just a regional final, and it's happening 2.5 hours north of where I sit right now. And as much as it can be on a Monday to start April, Albany, New York is going to be rocking tonight because this tournament from the women's side, it became cliche, really, as we got to the opening games of the bracket to say that this tournament was going to be better than the men. But this is why people were saying that, because of these storylines, these individual players, and these two teams coming together to create this game tonight, somehow overshadowing UConn and USC. The Huskies, they have been the face of this sport. They were the face of this sport for so long. They have taken a back seat for a number of reasons recently to South Carolina, to LSU, and in certain years to some other programs. But they are in the Sweet 16 for the 30th consecutive year, and now they're one win away from getting back in the Final Four. And Paige Beckers, who kind of was Caitlin Clark before Caitlin Clark, and then Beckers had some knee injuries, and now her head coach is calling her the best player in the sport, like it or not. I mean, it's a debate, but she's one win away, and she's been spectacular through their first three games. They're one win away from being back in, or we get Juju Watkins, who might be the next Caitlin Clark in the Final Four, a freshman from USC. The Trojans have a chance to get into this Final Four if they can knock off UConn. So both tournaments, as we began this hour, they've done their job. The men have spit out a really, really reflective Final Four of the entire season. And the women they've got six teams left. I can do math. These four playing tonight, and the two already, NC State and South Carolina, are already safely headed towards Cleveland and a Final Four, which is Friday and Sunday of this coming week. They leave us tonight with Iowa, LSU, USC, UConn. And Angel Reese putting a perfect bow on the dynamic, at least from her perspective. Maybe Caitlin Clark sees it differently, but Angel Reese described it the way it's supposed to be. She's supposed to be mean on the court to Caitlin Clark. She's supposed to trash talk the best players she's facing, because any slippage, any distraction is good for LSU. And there's a reason why they won the whole thing last year, and they're why they are in position right now to win the whole thing again this year. Cannot wait for this game to tip off a little more than 8 hours from now. Grab your best. Grab your spring best. Your linen pants, your white KED sneakers, your quilted wool polo, or like last year, your blue and green plaid dress pants and somehow had an elastic waistband. If you're cool like Boyle, grab your best clothes, put them on, sit down, but don't move or sweat too much. And then you can wear them again tomorrow to celebrate whoever wins tonight. But get ready for Iowa and LSU tonight.
You know, I got backup, by the way.
Oh, yeah? From
now,
who?
Mike Rochester?
Mike in Rochester?
Yeah. I forget his name.
You should remember his name if he's got your back.
Well, yeah, I know. And this is true. This is not illegitimate. This is not false. This is not a falsehood.
Uh-huh.
This is a true statement. This is an actual thing. He called up.
Okay.
And he said, you know what? I wore a linen button-down shirt to Easter dinner yesterday. Was at dinner for an hour and a half, drove a total of, I think it was 3 hours in the car.
Okay.
And he said, and I put it right back in the closet to wear for next time. And he said, I got your back. I said, well, all right, we'll come on the air and say that. He goes, I can't. He goes, in case my wife hears it or she sees me tweet about it.
Wow.
She goes, I'm going to hear it from her.
Interesting.
So it's a real thing, though. Rochester's got my back. I forget his name. But
right.
This man in Rochester is on the Pat Boyle train, as should many folks, because I know people have reworn outfits before. It's a normal thing. Stop shaming me.
So a guy whose name you can't remember, who conveniently could not come on air or tweet about this, he has your back.
Absolutely.
Okay. And you don't think that's a flimsy story at all?
Nope. Why would I make it up? I know America's got my back, Bogus. I don't need your belief. I don't need your belief in my stories.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did. Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.